All right. Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lurzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
I am coming to you from Detroit, Michigan, where I am recording on land belonging to the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi, and Wyandot Nations.
And I am coming to you all from Bogota, Colombia, where I record on land belonging to the Muisca peoples.
I love that so much. These nations are all some of many nations out here, and they're all doing their thing, and we would like to acknowledge that.
Yes, we would.
Right here and now.
For those hear ye, hear ye.
Yes, I decree. I hereby decree.
Just a note for Dev and maybe the audience. Can you hear the fireworks? So we're recording on New Year's Eve, y'all. And there's fireworks going off, even though it's not dark. They've been going off since 10 a.m.
Why do people do this with the fireworks during the daytime?
Wasting good fireworks.
Seriously, that's bizarre.
I don't get it.
They would do that in Brooklyn, too. It's maddening.
Yeah, they would do that all the time in Brooklyn. I'm still traumatized from that.
So are my dogs.
2020. Yeah. Oh, poor Betty.
Yeah. So I hereby decree that Beyond Reproach is the show about scandals and scandalousness in American politics and government. And today, this is a mini-sode. So we are talking about whatever the hell we want.
Yes. We are freestyling it, living that life. So I am here to just talk a little bit about my trip to Colombia's National Museum. So my trip to this National History Museum, I didn't know at the time, but it would nicely pair up with a special episode of the podcast. Last week, we had the very lovely and very hilarious Women of Shared History on with us to do a deep dive into Banana Republics and to make a lot of puns.
Yes.
The episode kind of went off the rails.
Yeah, it did a little. It was the Punderdome episode.
Yes, definitely. Lots of pun runs, especially towards the end. But I didn't know that they were going to do that topic. So I was perfectly situated to provide some supporting information gleaned from my trip to this museum. I wasn't really planning on sharing, but it's a little too perfect not to, especially considering that there was a whole wing dedicated to land exploitation.
Wild.
Not just bananas, but cattle and tobacco and other products as well. But bananas were by far the most devastating to Colombia as a nation, and therefore they had their own special section.
When I was a kid at school learning the golden rule, teacher often used to say, if you don't tell a lie, there's not a reason why you can't be like Washington someday. How could Washington be a married man and never, never tell a lie?
So I didn't do a lot of research before going there. I just found the address and made sure that it was open. And it turns out it's in my neighborhood. It's about a 7-minute walk from my Airbnb.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So I just want to walk you through some of my highlights. I had a really, really lovely time at this museum. I will be returning when my Spanish is better so I can read everything.
Yeah.
I was not ready for the magnitude of just the amazing within the walls. I actually had to go twice to this museum because there was so much to see. And this museum, it felt like a mix of a history museum, an art museum, and a science museum all rolled into one.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is perhaps a little overwhelming for some, but I lived.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into it at the end, but there were because I loved this museum so much, I'm like, let me see what other people are saying. And there are some reviews that are kind of about this. So
about it being too much.
Yeah. And about it being kind of like sprawling and I'll get into it. Most of it is stupid in my opinion, but
yeah, I mean like, oh, your museum's too good.
Yeah. a lot of the negative comments are coming from Americans.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I couldn't see everything in your museum in 2.5 hours, so fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when Russell and I went to Mexico City. The anthropology museum in Mexico City is huge and overwhelming too. And I've heard multiple people complain that it's too big. Like, there's too much
complaint.
Yeah, there's too much to see. There's too much amazing stuff in there for you. Sorry.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, just go back twice and shut up.
Yeah.
So Museo Nacional, it was founded in 1823. It's one of the oldest and largest and most important museums in all of South America. It houses a collection of over 20,000 pieces, including just artwork, objects representing different national history periods. The museum is known specifically for its huge quantity of pre-Columbian artifacts. Things like ceramics, gold, silver, and just other items that date back to this period. This museum also has a very large collection of colonial art, paintings, sculptures, decorative objects, fabrics. Like, the fabrics are so gorgeous, like weaved with gold from this period. In addition, it's like, but wait, there's more. This museum has a collection of modern and contemporary art featuring works. Yeah, everything is in this museum. It's kind of like when I said it's like a science museum, it's more like a natural history museum, like a regular history museum, a natural history museum, and an art museum all in one.
Wow.
So this is basically going to be a promo for this museum.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you don't even know how good it is. It is everything. So with all of this content, all these materials, they really curate a really incredible experience that will take more than 2 hours to fully navigate, which I had at the time. So their permanent exhibitions feature mostly archaeology and ethnography, samples from Colombian artifacts dating back 10,000 years up to the 20th century. They focus on, they don't focus on, but in addition to the normal, I don't know, normal is the right, like traditional, yes, let's say traditional, Colombian cultural heritage, they also shine a light on indigenous and Afro-Colombian art and culture, which is really cool. There's a really large wing with the quote-unquote founders, i.e. the colonizers, but there's an equally large wing dedicated to the liberators, the people who rose up against the Spanish. And there's a lot of just really cool iconography that goes along with both of those wings. My favorite wing was the one dedicated to flora and fauna and how the land has played a really integral role in Colombian history. This is where the banana wing is.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also paintings by Colombian masters. And again, it's just, this museum has everything.
Yeah.
And in addition to just being chock full of everything you could want about Colombian culture, the building itself is stunning. Like, it is an architectural marvel. It's done in this like neoclassical style. There's this giant facade and this central dome. Do you know what a panopticon is?
No.
Okay. It's a style of... I guess like jails that were built like hundreds of years ago where like half of it is like, it's like a half circle on one side. It was built that way so a guard could see into all of the cells because all the cells are kind of sliced up like pizza slices.
Okay, like, sure.
One prison guard could watch everyone. So this building used to be an old prison. So it's still set up in that style, which is really, really cool. It was changed from a prison in 1975. They made it into a national, the National Museum in 1975. So outside is like a botanical garden as well. Like, they have this courtyard area that features, it like Tux, literally this museum is everything. It has all of the things that I want. Like, I felt like I went to four different museums in one, which is really, really cool. So yeah, the courtyard is stunning. There's palm trees. There's little placards that tell you about the features of the plant and like how they relate to Colombian history. Like, they went all out.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So inside, and I'm going to put a ton of pictures and also video on Instagram so everyone can see. Inside, they've kept a lot of the interior details of the old prison. So the medium wings still feature these like iron gates, and like there's bars on the windows. Like it's really, really cool. And they've converted a few cells into smaller collections. Like there's a little cell that's dedicated to gold, and another is dedicated to revolutionary women in Colombian history, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So this museum is currently at the end of a three-year update that is supposed to finish up this year. But despite all the updates, the building still looks very historic, and it's a significant like cultural artifact in Bogota. So the first thing that I was really blown away by outside of the building and just everything in it was just like the socialism of it all. It's practically free to go to. It's free on Sundays. It's free on Wednesday afternoon. It's free for elderly people. It's free for children. And also disabled people can come to the museum any day of the week for free.
Cool.
And yeah, it's hands down the most accessible museum I've ever been into. The first thing you see when you enter a collection is a station with a video of a woman doing sign language, explaining what is in this particular wing. And at the station, you can watch the video or you can listen to audio describing the purpose of the visit. It's really, really cool. Like they have gone out of their way to make it accessible for everyone.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine. So I feel like here is a good spot for a little break. And when we return, I can walk you through some of my favorite parts of the banana wing.
Amazing. All right. We'll be right back.
So, have you ever thought about what would happen if your airline window popped out? Or if you could build a jetpack using only machine guns? Well, turns out you could, but you really shouldn't. Hi, I'm Jill Chacha, host of a podcast that's for folks who like learning about weird stuff. It's called, Well, That's Interesting. This is a comedy science-y show that tells the story behind the facts, and yeah, those stories are funny. It's the perfect way to learn and remember something, which is really useful now that we all have to make small talk again. Every week, I'll be joined with a guest who's coming in cold and learns everything in real time, just like you. Reactions are real, the facts are bizarre, and the laughter is plentiful. Listen to Well, That's Interesting wherever you do podcasts.
And we're back, right? Yes, we're back.
Yes, we are.
Banana wing, let's get into it. So in addition to the normal historical documentation, the banana zone, yes. Oh my God. Bananas. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. So in addition to just the normal history documentation that you find in most history museums, this museum had a really cool interactive timeline that just for bananas, for bananas and its influence, that spanned three walls. Like it went down one side, over, and like back up this amazing one wing of, and I have pictures, I have videos of it all.
Did it talk at all about the extinction of the banana that we used to consume before?
I don't know. I need to look at my pictures again.
I can't remember. I used to know what that brand, like species of banana was called. And like, I knew all this, I don't know, I'm such a nerd, but I knew all this stuff about like, you know, I think it was like either a disease or a blight or maybe an insect that killed off the species of banana. And because it was so heavily farmed and it was a monoculture in so many countries in that same climate, that this disease just spread like wildfire because there, you know, it was so heavily concentrated in such a small area.
They were using the same like species of banana.
Everyone was
all the plate. Yeah.
Apparently they were smaller and sweeter than the bananas that we get now. But yeah, that was like everybody ate those bananas. I think it was until like the 50s, I want to say. I could be completely wrong there, but somewhere in that area. And then it went extinct and they had to find like a new species of banana in the wild that would stand up to commercial transportation and all that stuff in the way that the other one was. Cavendish, I want to say, was the name of it.
Oh, yes. I've heard. Yes. I want to say there's a whole podcast about the Cavendish, or maybe just an episode of a podcast. I definitely remember hearing some podcast. I think it was an NPR, something or another, talking about the Cavendish and its impact.
Yeah.
And how
Sam the Banana Man was definitely importing the Cavendish banana.
Banana man.
Bastard.
He was such a sweet banana boy. Actually, he wasn't, though.
No, he never was.
He never was.
He was rotten from the beginning.
So, in addition to this timeline, like inner space between the dates, they have all these photographs, they have news clippings, illustrations, audio, tools, and even like flatware from the United Fruit Company. Which is like, they just have their forks on display. I don't know why, but I kind of love it. Like, why not? But they were able to tell a really complicated history through this one fruit, which is kind of cool. Like all of the socio-political history in Latin America can really be distilled down into this monoculture, because it was the same model everywhere of just land exploitation, regardless of the country. So my one and only complaint about my experience is basically a complaint about myself and my inability to read Spanish very well. So like when you go into these wings, there is a placard that is multiple paragraphs long and it's in English. And then there's like a Spanish version, but like that's the only English really in these exhibits outside of a few random like news clippings. So a grasp of Spanish is kind of necessary, like even just a little bit. Like I would say I was able to read like half of what I was looking at, but definitely towards the end of my visit, I just was looking at pictures and watching videos.
Yeah.
Because again, it was just so massive. And I'm like, okay, I want to see everything.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite things about this museum is how interactive it is. They have taken the time to make replicas of certain items and place them in the museum where just regular people can touch and interact with them. I didn't know this until I saw a man like touch this like what looked like an ancient vase. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, dude, chill out. Like, no guards are around. But
yeah,
damn,
stop
like,
touching shit. Yeah.
What are you doing? And then I went over and it said like Tocar, and I'm like, oh, let me touch. Like, oh, this is a replica. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That man wasn't on some bullshit. He was following directions. So I thought that was really cool. And in the center of these different wings, there are all these displays with, you know, real artifacts behind glass where you can't touch them. But beneath these glass cases are all of these drawers that you can pull open and read manuscripts and other supporting documents in relation to what is on display. Like, it is truly a history lover's paradise, Colombian history specifically, obviously. Like, they have so much information, and I loved it. I definitely want to come back to Bogota just to see this museum again and be able to read everything. So in addition to primary sources and all of this like supporting documentation about monocultures and land exploitation, there were contemporary art pieces that were in proximity to this work. Like everything is kind of mixed together, which is so cool, I thought.
Yeah.
So in the wing with the quote unquote founders, i.e. the enslavers, they had all of this artwork, you know, in the normal artwork that you would see in museums, like the grand portraits of these, you know, these men in their fancy clothes. But they also had pictures of revolutionaries, a lot of brown and women, of course, were at the forefront of, you know, all movements for change. Colombia is no different. And I really just appreciated how broad the lens was and how they were able to weave in the storytelling from Indigenous and Afro-Colombian Colombians as well. And for people who don't know, and I feel like everyone should know, but Colombians are a mix of African, Indigenous, and Spanish people, like most of Latin America. Mm-hmm. If you listen to their music, you hear it. But yeah, I mentioned that this museum is currently still under renovation. When I was there, there were two wings that were closed. They're still doing work on it. But I did a tour of the city, and I was talking to my tour guide about how just incredible the museum was. And she hadn't seen the latest update. And she was saying that they're updating it specifically to add more contributions of underrepresented groups in Colombia.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like so women, queer folks. Yeah. Like it's amazing. Like they're doing all of the right things. And I just, it's so refreshing, but also it's really infuriating because it's like, why can't we do this?
Yes, exactly. I was just thinking that when I was in Mexico City with Russell, I mentioned before we went to the Anthropology Museum, and it sounds not quite as amazing, but very similar, where there's like certain things are translated into English, but not every exhibit. And there's a lot of replicas of ancient artifacts that you can like, there's like replicas of like ancient ruins that you can sit and take pictures with. And
what?
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's like, ooh. I haven't been to this museum in Colombia, but it's definitely the one in Mexico City was one of my favorite museums I've ever been to. And there is a lot of, there are parts that are outside that you can walk through that are sort of set up like gardens. Why did I start talking about this? I don't remember. Oh, but yeah, the whole time I was just like, man, you know, the way that they include the native history is so important to the history of their country and the history of this museum. And like, why don't we do this? You know, you can go to the Museum of Natural History and you learn a little bit about Native American history, it like little blips and blurbs, but like, it's not really a major part of anything that we talk about or care about in most history museums.
Yeah, like we like to segregate the information. Like we have a museum just dedicated to Native American and Indigenous folks instead of just having them in all of the museums where they belong.
Exactly. Yeah, that it would be in a natural history museum is so strange to me. Like they're like Native people are like some like extinct species of animal. You know what I mean? Like
I didn't even
they're
think
not
about
woolly
that.
Mammoths.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, and I know the exhibit that you're talking about. There's like a little man with like a stick, and it's like,
yeah. I mean that there are other exhibits in the Museum of Natural History in New York, where they have like long boats and different things. It's you know.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, there's several parts of the museum there that have and discuss Native American history, but it's like it's still it feels like an odd place. An odd museum for that to be focused on, you know, when it's American history.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that there's a way to do it where you're weaving in the story of like all of the peoples and like, why should they should all be together. Like we shouldn't, be in the national, I mean, they could be mentioned, but like, like you said, it's an odd place for
they're
them.
Not, yeah. Really... They're not like a weird extinct animal. They're you know,
yikes.
But yeah, American history museums tend to just focus on straight white men with money and their contribution to this country.
Yes. Full stop. The end.
Yeah. Gross. So
in this museum, there's a lot of documentation about union uprisings, which is really amazing. Mm-hmm. The uprisings that push back against United Fruit Company and the unfortunate subsequent massacres that happened. And there are parts that aren't gratuitous, but like they do talk about the violence and there's some photos. But all in all, I thought that their collection was really, really awe-inspiring. And I didn't get to see everything the first time I went because I did very little research. So I didn't know that it was going to be so big.
Yeah.
And I got so thirsty, I had to leave. Oh. Meanwhile, there's a cafe on the first floor that I just didn't even see. So I came back after a few weeks, and I came back on a Sunday, which I didn't know was free. Like the woman kind of stopped me on the door, and I'm just like, can I just get a ticket? And she's like, gratis. And I'm like, oh, okay, I know that word. That word means free. So I loved this museum. Obviously, I'm raving about it. So I was curious and I went to Google and I checked other reviews. I'm like, everyone loves this museum, right? And most people do. It has the same rating as the Louvre. Like it has a 4.7. Oh, wow. Yeah, 4.7 rating. But most of the one-star reviews are from English speakers complaining about the lack of English documentation and the lack of what they called cohesive storytelling. Like,
what?
I know.
How do you know if you couldn't read the story?
Thank you. Yes. And oftentimes it was like the same kind of two comments. Like, if you could read it, then you'd understand. Like, do you hear yourself? Like, I don't know. The lack of self-awareness kind of tickled me. Because like, okay, Jim, like just because you don't get it doesn't mean everyone doesn't get it. Like this could just be a Jim problem.
I mean, I guess in theory, the like lack of English is in some way, in, at least in their head, valid, even though you're in a Spanish speaking country. But
absolutely,
like,
yes.
To then say there's not a cohesive narrative, like you literally just said you couldn't read what it said.
Yeah.
So what, where did that
come
from?
Well, some of them were talking about how there's art in this history museum. Like, why are there pictures of plants in this history museum? Like, because they couldn't read everything, I guess they didn't get the thoughtfulness behind the collections.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it seemed random. And that is kind of valid, but like saying that you can't understand the language and then also saying that it made no sense is like, you can't say both of those things. Because if you understood the language, it would make sense.
The real problem is that they're just so used to the way American museums are set up, where it's so like hyper-focused on one specific thing.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. So as I was saying, like all the normal banana history stuff is supplemented with banana-related artwork and just tools and just all sorts of things.
Any banana-related puns in the museum?
I didn't see any. It doesn't mean that they weren't there.
Maybe I mean, they would have been in Spanish. So
they beat all the banana jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good reason to get better at Spanish, just so you can learn the banana puns in Spanish.
Yes. They're probably not some. Yeah, you know that there's some. Wow, of course. Yeah, that is great motivation. So these supporting artwork that's in this, you know, banana wing, they were divided into three themes: the theme of identity, ecosystem, and violence. And it seemed like this part of the museum was like the newest. And my tour guide was saying that it's the part that they're trying to update into the future, because I think people like to think that banana republics were like in the distant ancient history, but it's not. Like, this was recent times.
They're still happening.
Yeah, exactly. They're still happening. And the impact is real. And it's still being felt by Colombian communities and communities throughout Latin America and the Caribbean.
I think the fact that they're also named banana republics makes people think that it only happens in countries that export bananas, whereas like it's any limited resource.
Yes.
And you know, we have banana republics in the Middle East with oil, and you know what I mean, there's all sorts of banana republics all over the world that are being fucked over by colonial powers.
Yeah, truly. So definitely check out our Instagram feed this week to see photos and video of my trip. If you want to know more, because I could go on. Definitely, yeah. DM me, send us an email. I could talk I could talk all day, but I'm going to stop here. Before we close, I want to shout out my Colombian Spanish teacher, Sergio. Yes. He started listening to the podcast.
Really? Amazing.
He loves it. He actually gave me homework this morning, and my homework is to describe Tux in our next in Spanish in our next meeting on Wednesday. So he was a little caught off by all of the swearing and just how he mentioned that you said like, oh, I hope someone dies of cancer, and he's just like, oh. And he's like, no, but I love it. Like, I love like dark humor, but like, I guess I didn't give him enough warning for how, how we are.
Oh no.
No, it's great. It's great.
I remember when I said that. I think I can't remember.
Oh, really? What episode?
I don't remember what episode, but I was saying, I think I said Mitch McConnell, and I said that I hope he dies of dick cancer is what I said.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You left that part out. Oh.
But when I listened back to that, I like gasped. I'm like, oh, should we leave this in? Should I ask Deb to cut this? Because it is a very sort of violent thing to say that you hope someone dies of cancer.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it's Mitch McConnell. It's fine.
I like your first thought was like, no. And then you're like, but it's Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. He's not human. It doesn't count.
Uh-oh. Yikes. Oh, no. So I said what I said. I said what I said. Come fight me.
Yeah.
So my teacher has a TikTok that is really great. So I'm going to put it in the show notes for anyone who's looking to improve their Spanish.
Amazing.
He's really, 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 really patient and is helping me feel less terrible about my bad Spanish. So yeah, shout out to him.
So cool.
I love that. Yeah. And that's
all. Well, thank you. Thank you for telling me all about this museum that now I'm kind of a little bummed that when I come to Colombia, we're not going to be in Bogota and I won't be able to go to this amazing museum.
Yeah. Just have to come back to Colombia. We'll come back.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I guess we are done. So thank you guys so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Tux Lerzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
And of course, thank you to our audio editor, Dev. We could not do this without him.
Nope. Facts are facts, America.
That they are. That they are. All right. Yeah, thanks for listening. Happy New Year. And yes. See you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to Beyond Reproach. Please note that we are not historians, we're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media and make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. And we also have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.